Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The Gossip Gaze. The Gossip Gaze.
Hello and welcome to the Gossip Gaze podcast with me, Danny Beard.
And me, John Lee, standing in for DJ Billy.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say John Lee Stanley. I was like, have you got a triple name? What are they called?
Triple barrel.
Triple barrel name.
Triple barrel. Yeah. Anyway, it's our sloppy second Girls Gaze and Laser. You know that. It's our second weekly release. Last week on our bonus, we got to know John a little bit more. This week, it's back about you again.
Oh, is it? Oh, good times.
Not you.
Oh.
You, the listener.
Oh, you, the listener.
Yeah.
Oh, well, fuck me then.
Yeah.
Fuck my drag.
Don't forget, if you do want to get in touch, share your dilemmas, funny stories, anything camp, crazy or cuckoo. Have you licked somebody's bath water? Have you fucked a grave? I don't know. Email us at letters@gossipgazepod.com. DM us on Insta @gossipgazepod.com and get in touch via WhatsApp. You know where the number is. It's in the description. Also, just in case anyone hasn't seen Saltburn, I know we're still talking about it. I'm so sorry. That's what that reference was. I've not lost the plot and I'm not looking for people like necrophiliac stories. Anyway, it's another week in the workroom. It's a new day in the workroom. Billy's still down under, and he sent us another voice note to keep us updated on. And he sent us another update to keep us updated on his travels. Did you see how I used update twice?
It's good. It was good. Just to really hone in.
This is the latest update.
Mm. So have a listen to that, and then we'll be back straight after this.
The Gossip Gaze. Well, good day, Sheilas. It's me, Billy Andrew, here, coming in live and clear from Australia. That is a really shit accent. I do apologise. So I'm on my final day. I'm super excited to be coming home, actually. Although I've had the best time, I get a little bit lonely when I'm 24 hours away on a plane and the time difference is 12 hours. So literally when I'm sleeping, everybody's awake. And then when I'm awake, everybody's sleeping. So it's, it's been a bit of a weird one, although Virgin Voyages have trekked me insane. They always do. I've had the best time on the cruise ship. Australia, I've loved seeing it. I've loved being here. And you'll hear more about it when I am back. I'm making myself cringe when I'm back next week. Love you all. Love you all, you listeners. I can't even speak. Love you, your listeners, and everybody in the studio. See you next week.
Well, that was nice to find out what Billy's been up to once it moves.
Lovely. I really enjoyed that. Thank
you,
Billy.
You don't sound convinced there.
I'm actually quite jealous of Billy doing his cruising all around international. I think it's like a really cool trip. That skydive.
Really cool.
Are you what? Now I'm actually just trying to be authentic. It sounds like I'm lying.
Does it remind you of your gap year?
My gap year.
That you and your Tory chums took.
You're backpacking.
She's a backpacker. Do you know what, actually, Sam, while we are talking, I would love to know how it went. I know it's a while since Christmas, but how did it go with the new boyfriend? And basically, I'm angling for a boyfriend update.
Yeah, the French fireman.
French fireman.
Oh, come on. So I don't know anything about this. So how long have you been together?
Well, I can tell you.
Oh, no, you're not going to get a tally out, are you? Not like one of these guys on Grindr with a...
It's whatever my Duolingo streak is. 194 days. Because I started Duolingo the day I met him because he was like, come meet me tomorrow. And I was like, oh, I don't know what the fuck he said. So I had to start Duolingo.
You needed to learn slower in French.
Harder. Oh, I don't know that one. But
fantastic.
No, it was amazing. Had the best time.
So you flew out on Christmas Day?
I flew out on Christmas Day to Geneva.
What is Geneva? Switzerland?
Switzerland.
This mad place. I always think of the Princess Diaries.
And that's Genovia, which is not a real place.
We've 100%. We had this conversation last time. Geneva, yeah.
So like,
all right, sorry about that.
I remember in Switzerland on Christmas
like when
Day.
Your grand forgets what your name is. Go saw the grandkids.
It's the equivalent of calling you Donnie.
Well, I was trying to be nice and ask you about your boyfriend, but quite frankly, I don't give two shits now.
No, I'm going to go back.
I hope it went well.
Geneva Christmas Day had like cheese fondue like by the lakes of Geneva. That was incredible. Most expensive cheese of my life.
How much?
100 quid.
For cheese?
For a pot of cheese fondue, yeah.
Who paid?
It's absolutely worth the money when you don't pay. not me. But it was incredible.
Was it romantical? Do you feel a bit swept off your feet?
Oh, honestly, it feels like a movie every time.
How did you meet, though? If he's a French fireman, how did you meet?
I went to Nice.
And started a fire.
It was actually Hinge.
And burned his mother down.
Opposites attract.
I met him in Nice. And I was like, I was like, fireman, hot, sure, yeah. Let's go for a drink. And then basically he said, come see me again tomorrow before you go. And I was like, sure, why not?
Because
I was
very... sounds like the listener's letter from last week.
It really does. I was quite dismissive at first because I was like, he's French. It's never going to work. But then when I came back to the UK, he was like, when are you going to come back to Nice? I was like, oh, he's not joking.
So he chased you?
He did say, when you come back to Nice, yeah. And I thought...
So he's a chubby chaser?
I'm joking.
I just like to put you down because you've got a great body.
Yeah, also went to Milan and also went to Nice over Christmas.
And you do a thing where you go see him, he comes to you, you go see him.
Yeah,
so I think next time you come here, bring him to my show and I'll make sure he
would actually love that. Yeah,
I'll vet him.
Well, he likes drag as well. So
well, he
won't
by the time
that.
I finish.
So he's come to Manchester a few weeks. He's met Billy a couple of times actually because we've gone to Via. And Billy's been DJing Avia. Oh. So
you introduced him to Billy first, do you?
The nice parent.
Yeah. not the cuckoo crazy parent.
I'll bring him to studio, you can interrogate him. Well, you might not understand what you're saying, but...
No, don't bring him to work. Not bring your dog to work, Dan. You better bring poo bags if you do. While we're talking about relationships, what is it you look for? Because I know we touched on it last time, John. You're currently single. Mm-hmm. What is it that you kind of look for in a man? What gives you icks? If you were to have a perfect man, what would he look like?
I'm really... I say I'm fussy, but I'm actually quite not. I think... Do you find that people's faces change when you get to know them?
Like, yeah,
sometimes absolutely. When you've met somebody and they might not be like the most attractive person in the world, but as you get to know them, they become beautiful.
Or ugly.
Or the other way around, you meet someone that's so hot and the more you get to know them, their faces change and they're actually really unattractive. I get that quite a lot. Within the first sort of 3 months, people's faces tend to change for me. Big
what
turn on
that
for
that
me is hands. A massive hands, yeah. Like really nice hands.
Not you flicking through the Argos catalogue through the ring section.
No.
Tick, like them hands. Tick. Oh, okay.
No, but
I like that.
I think a gentleman wears a watch, a nice watch.
Oh.
And you know, you get the little bit of hair around there, just this bit here. That really
is
so turns
weird.
Me on.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love a bit of hair that pokes out of the top of a man's
I like a bit of hair,
shirt,
I have to say, yeah.
Like his chest hair.
I find that very
or
attractive.
Or arms, or hairy, like, I quite like a hairy man. Mm. And I say that all the time, my boyfriend's not overly hairy, but he's got a bit of chest hair, and I'm always like, oh, well, open your top. I love that. What would be an
never
ick?
See that hair.
What makes them faces change?
It's normally attitude. Do you know what I mean? The people's attitude. Like when you just get to know them a little bit better, then you just see that they're not really who you thought they were.
I don't like seeing anybody talk like rude to like waiting staff.
I can't bear it.
I can't stand it.
I will get up and I'll walk away from you. Like, I can't
but
stand
But I
that.
Say that and I did tell someone to go fuck themselves last week.
But no, in fairness though, he asked for that.
Uh-huh. But, you know, call me a hypocrite. I don't like things like that. I don't like seeing people treat me one way and speak another way to someone else. Yeah. And I've found that more since like Drag Race and bits of other stuff. And you must get that.
Yeah,
people
I don't
treat you one way because of your job. And then you see a glimpse of them with someone else and you go, oh, well, it makes me think who's the real person.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
The one you put into me or the one that you've just shown, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you... Mm-hmm.
No, I'm just agreeing.
Oh, I thought you were going to say
I think because me and John did that at the same time, it sounded sassier than it probably was. But yeah, you harmonised on
a stereo sassy. Mm-hmm.
Do you have any absolutely unreasonable licks? Like ones that are just a bit unhinged. I feel like if I see someone run for the bus and not make it, ick.
No, I would fall
I'm
in love.
Not that,
I would,
that's
I would fall in love with someone.
Not like
oh, I would. I'd be like, oh, bless you, darling.
Yeah,
I would.
Come home with me.
Oh, bless you getting on a bus.
We get it. Yeah, you're touring.
I get on a bus. I get on a bus. Don't you worry.
Have you ever like took anyone into your world you've been dating before? Would you keep them separate?
Well, in fairness, like when I was dating and stuff, S Club was finished. So I was working in theatre mainly then. Mm-hmm. So if I was dating guys from shows and stuff, it was...
They were in the
world.
Yeah,
but as you find out that you have to kind of be with someone on your timetable as well. Because if you're working in the evenings and someone's working in the day, you never see each other.
Yeah.
So that was kind of a big thing as well. But yeah, I honestly, I just get bored of people really, really quick. Really quick. It's me, it's not them. And half of it, I look back and there was times when I've been cheated on quite a lot by this one particular twat, and that affected me a lot to then open up and trust people. And so I took that baggage with me into then the next relationships, and the kind of probably wasn't the nicest to some people I've been in relationships with.
Do you think so you combated
that? I think
that?
You know who you are.
Oh, bless you.
Yeah, no, because sometimes it's just a bit of a dick. And it wasn't that it's not their fault at all. It would just be like, I'll go 100 miles an hour of like, yeah, come on, let's go. I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. And then like 6 months later, I'm like, no, I don't want to do this anymore. And it's literally like a complete switch off. And they have no idea. They haven't done anything wrong and they don't really know why that's happened.
But I think it's quite mature. I think it's quite mature and like it's level-headed enough to be able to spot when it's me. I'm the problem.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was really bad. I've just cringed for myself. but no, I think I like that. Well, we've got people talking about relationships today, I think, have we? Probably.
I think. No.
No, well, we've not. So just ignore everything we've spoke about, basically.
Don't worry about it.
The Gossip Gaze.
All right, my lovies. Well, we'll be back with your listeners' letters after this short break. But first...
Are you cuckoo for confessions?
Are you gagging for gossip?
Or are you turned on by tittle-tattle?
Then make sure you're spreading the gossip with your besties, fellow queens, allies, and tell them to listen to The Gossip Gaze.
Spread the love by spreading the podcast.
Ooh, share this episode on WhatsApp now. Me and John will give you a few moments, won't we, dear?
We will.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The Gossip Gaze.
J
John, do you want to do the welcome back?
I was going to say that.
Yeah, well, I just thought it'd be fun if John
well,
didn't.
I said it as I was going to say. I was going to ask John.
Seconds.
Were you going to ask John?
I was going to ask John.
Yeah, well,
I'll
ask John.
It's not a competition. John, would you like to say the welcome
yeah,
back?
Yeah, why not? Let's do it, yeah. Welcome back to part two of the Gossip Gaze Sloppy Seconds.
Mm-hmm. We got some sloppy second gossip and drama and things, right? That was a question
yes.
to Sam.
Oh, yes, yes.
Come on, Sam. Sorry.
I thought that was more of just like a right like,
the thing
to the
is,
audience.
The thing is, when we have the monitors on in the studio, Sam likes to stare at himself
well,
and not look at
we. When we try to look at each other, it's...
I've got a nice side profile. Mine's been balanced out by Sophia Bailey Aesthetics in Chester. It's the chin filler and the nose filler makes it all in line.
Yeah,
we've had this. Beautiful. I don't want to bore people with the same chat because Lily May will call me out, but... I am basically the Queen's nose. Carry on.
You can tell we've been in the studio for giving a while coin, today. We're all getting a little coin. Bit aggy, aren't we?
Right, so you got a couple of messages. This first one is from Stephen, he, him.
Hi, Stephen, he,
Hi,
him.
Hi, Stephen.
Stephen says, hi, Danny, Billy and John. I'm new to your podcast and I must say the humour is everything. So here's my dilemma. I'm a gay male, 27 this year, and I've never been to a nightclub, never been out on a drinking sesh. This is because I've always chosen to care for my granddad over having a laugh with friends. But now I've moved away from home for my boyfriend. My work friends are asking me to go out drinking, etc. But it's not my thing. I'm thinking I'm down for a few drinks, but now they've stopped asking me. Am I a boring bastard?
No.
No.
First of all, a big fat hard no.
No. Different priorities, that's all. You chose to look after your granddad instead of going out and getting pissed. I think that's quite nice.
I think it's a nice quality, and I think there's a big thing with people who still drink when people are sober of, oh, you're boring. Oh, yeah. You're boring. Mm. And I think we do need to change that narrative like collectively as humanity.
Yeah.
Go on.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off then, but yeah, I relate to this. I took about 6 months off drinking last year, and... I was absolutely fine, like, still going out, like, just not drinking alcohol. Like, it was absolutely fine. I still had fun. And I'd recommend, if you're not that into drinking, still go out and not drink alcohol. But during that six-month period, the hardest point wasn't, oh, I want a drink, or it wasn't, like, oh, I care what people think. It was just people constantly being like, why? Why? Have a drink. Why?
Yeah,
like,
I
can have fun without alcohol. I just found that very frustrating that... It wasn't actually anything to do about drinking or not. It was constantly trying to justify to other people that I just don't fancy it or I don't want to. I've got my own reasons. But I kind of relate to that. There is this whole problem where people think you have to
have to have a good time. But I gave up drinking for about 2 years, 2.5 years. And I actually found I was bored when I went out. Do you know what I mean? Because when you have a few drinks and stuff, you relax, you know, have a bit of a boogie and stuff with your mates and stuff. But when you go out and you're sober and everyone else is pissed around you, it's really fucking boring.
Yeah,
so you're not the boring
you're
one.
You're seeing the change. In
you're
everyone.
Seeing
you're
how
not changing.
Boring everyone is when
yeah.
they're
yeah.
repeating
talking
the same
shit.
Costumes.
So boring.
My biggest thing, one of my biggest icks, is when people get drunk and they start having the same conversation. And I'm like,
it's always right in your ear as well
we've
when
just,
it's
yeah,
there.
I've just like, had this conversation. Yeah, and I think I don't do that, but we almost do that.
Yeah, we
all
do it.
The other thing I've picked up on this letter is they've now stopped asking me, "Am I a boring bastard?" Don't be afraid to ask that. Don't be afraid to say, "Hey, I'm feeling like we're up to going out this week." Or I don't know where you've moved to, but I know there's a brand new sober bar opened on campus in Manchester, which is at the top of Canal Street, the gay area. Sorry, I always Manchester base everything, but I do live here.
But there's so many non-alcoholic drinks now when you go out anyway.
Still available and beers on tap.
Yeah, because I drink beer. I love beer. But when I'm at home, I drink non-alcoholic beer when I'm by myself. But if you go out and if they've got it there, you could stand there with a pint and no one would know anyway.
And the other thing is, it doesn't even have to be a few drinks afterward. You could say, "Do you want to grab a bite to eat afterward?"
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing people get nervous about is the unknown. And whenever you're going to come up with 100 scenarios in your head of what may or may not happen, and probably some of them are, they already think you're boring. Cause I can tell from the letter, "Am I a boring bastard?" You think they think you're boring. Yeah. They don't. They've made you an offer of doing something. You've said no a couple of times. They might have think, "Oh, I've got the message. Let's not ask." But that might not be the case. It's all the unknown. It's all the when we don't communicate, we fill in the blanks. So communicate.
Yeah, but it's like you say as well. You don't have to arrange to go out for a drink.
No,
there's loads of stuff to do.
No, and you know you've moved away from home to be with your boyfriend. Like you've already done a big step in your life that if you've changed everything up, this is a tiny thing. And also, their work colleagues, like, they come and go. That's what I'm saying. I'm just trying to say, worst fucking case. They do. So
yeah.
What?
It's okay, not the end of the world, yeah.
The worst case, they do think that of you, which I'm guaranteed they won't. But if they did, so fucking what?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just relax. Enjoy their company. Like, just chill.
Let's get a message from Alex, whose pronouns are they that?
Alex says, "Hi, Gossip Gays. I would love some advice. How do you come out to your friends, family, and work as non-binary? I've newly discovered I'm non-binary, and I'm not sure how to go about it. Thank you."
I think I'm going to kick this off because I think in lockdown, we had so much time on our hands. I did a bit of reading and I was like, I really related to feeling like, oh my God, I'm non-binary. I felt like it makes sense. This is why I was drawn to drag and I've always played with that. And actually what it says on paper to be male and what it says to be female, I really felt aligned to saying, hey, I'm non-binary. But I think also for me, as time's gone on, I think technically, yes, I would say I'm non-binary, but I also, it's not a thing I go out and say, hey, everyone, I'm non-binary. I don't mind if people say, hey, people say she anyway, because I'm a drag queen.
Yeah.
I call all my gay friends she. My personal experience and my bubble that I live in, which is very much a queer bubble, all of that's kind of blurred and it only really comes back and makes sense to me when I'm out in the real world, if you will, when we filmed The Weakest Link, I saw in capitals all over the cruise sheets, they, them, like highlighted, like so that no one got it wrong. And that kind of made me be like, oh, I don't want people around me to be on edge to say,
have I said the right thing? Have I said the wrong thing?
I hate that side of things. But I think a lot of people put so much pressure on coming out, especially when it's like non-binary, and I don't know who you are or your journey, but I'm going to assume they already know that you're queer. And I very much took this stance on it. I spoke about it on here because I knew it was some kind of platform that someone might listen to and it might help them. But I personally don't feel like I wanted to have to come out again. I'd already come out as gay. I was sick of coming out. I'm not coming out again. I'm me and I'll be me. But if it's something that means something to you, I think you do it in whatever way feels right, which sounds like a cop-out answer. But what I'm trying to say is don't make such a big thing of it for yourself. You know, maybe it's someone's on the telly. Maybe it's just finding the right opportunity. Oh, they go by they, them. What's they, them? And the question comes about, and then you can say, well, actually, I suppose if I think about it, I probably relate more that way. I think the less of a deal you make it, the less of a deal it may feel for family. I don't know. I'm just trying to give my experience. I don't know if you guys can add anything to it about coming out as gay or whatever.
I don't have any experience in coming out with different pronouns, so I can't relate on that. It doesn't feel right for me to comment, but I guess the only thing I could say is, like, on the back of what you said about trying not to make a big deal of it, you don't have to have like this sort of like blanket way of doing things. Like the way that you come out at work might be different to how you come out to your friends and family. So maybe at work it is just a bit of like a pronoun check. Just like, oh, just so you know, like, I feel more comfortable with this. It doesn't have to be so much of a thing.
Or just change your email header on the bottom and leave it.
But your friends and family, like maybe your friends, you might want to be talking more about what you're experiencing and your feelings. Like there are different levels for different scenarios. Yeah. You don't have to put a binary to how you come out. Yeah.
I don't know about you guys, but coming out is never like you come out once, like you're constantly coming out. So it can feel like a big thing, like you're building up to a moment to like announce this, you know, who you are and you want to tell those people around you and communicate those things. But it will never just be the one thing. And sometimes people forget or they assume or whatever. So you're like constantly coming out your whole life in various different ways. And often, like, I don't know about you guys, but for me, sometimes it's just a practicality in a conversation, or I can add an experience to what people are saying, or I can correct someone for saying something that I think is ignorant in a room. And I feel like I have to then sort of tell them who I am or my sexuality or that thing about me that then qualifies me to be able to say those things. And sometimes mm-hmm. it's not actually like a romantic coming out.
Yeah.
It is just, I am saying this because I feel like I have to say this, or I feel like I need to share my experience in this space and in this room. And I think as like queer people, you often have to do that.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it's really difficult sometimes to feel like you have this moment that you want to build up and it'll be this magical moment or whatever. But so often it's just a practicality. Yeah. And I think when you can, once you've kind of done it a time or two, you almost get a bit sick of it. And then it becomes more of a throwaway thing.
It's become and the more you do it, the easier it is. Just
exactly.
Like, it's become very nonchalant for me because I've always been very fluid with my sexuality. Like my sexuality has been all different places throughout different times of my life to the point that I've sort of stopped caring about putting a label on it. But there was very much a period where I was like, oh, I feel going by fluid. Oh, I feel going by bi. Oh, I feel going by gay. And to point like, I just don't care at the minute. Yeah. So I think whenever I have sort of had an update, it's been quite nonchalant. And to be honest, it has just been to the people like close to me that needed context, essentially.
Or to the thousands and thousands of people around the world that listen to this.
Yeah, that's fine.
It's one of those things, isn't it? Because sometimes it is a spectrum or like, you know, coming out is, again, I feel like me personally, I think it's outdated. I don't feel like I should ever have to announce my sexuality because straight people don't. People just assume.
Yeah.
So I will treat people as they come to me, and the information that they give me is the information that they choose to give me, and I'll accept it for whatever it is at that time. And you don't have to put a label on that. And it's so difficult because you change so many things about yourself all the time, your hair color, your fashion sense, the music that you like, and how you identify may change throughout time. And you shouldn't feel like criticized or there's a spectrum or like a, you know, a looking glass on how you identify. Therefore, you shouldn't have to be constantly going, right, this is who I am now. Now, this is who I am. Because we're finding ourselves throughout our whole lives.
Course, and I find that so much, especially like having a little bit of a public persona, do you know what I mean? Like sometimes I do wish, oh, I'd have just kept how I felt about being non-binary to myself, like, because it doesn't bother me if someone says, hey, I look like a he, I don't look like anything else, so that's fine for what you want to call me. But when I go to work sometimes and people are like, and then they have to correct themselves, for me, hopefully in 10 years we won't have that culture that it feels like that, but for me, I kind of hate feeling a bit of a nuisance.
But I think this, the moment now as well, it's new vocabulary for people to learn. Do you know what I mean? And it's a new way of thinking for a lot of people to learn. So yeah, people are going to make mistakes and people are going to slip up. And but like I say, I think maybe like next generation is things we're used
and
to saying.
And I think it's how we handle it as well. Like it's intent and it's how we can tell if someone's wanting to be offensive. It's not just language that we have. We can see body language. There's everything else that goes with our language. Yeah. Like we know if someone wants to be offensive, and I think it's trying to not be offended and live your life where you think everyone is being offensive or.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I don't know about, I don't know about you, John, but obviously you, as you touched upon already, you came out publicly to the world much time after the first round of S Club, let's call it.
Yeah.
But I assume friends and family, it wasn't a thing. So you almost came out twice, I suppose.
Kind of, yeah. Correct? I mean, I remember my brother said to me, actually, well, I think I was only like 15, I think, when I sort of spoke to them about it. And the only, like, they didn't care, they were absolutely fine. But the only thing he'd said was, just make sure. Do you know what I mean? Because once you've said it, you can't unsay it. Do you know what I mean? Just make, because I was so young, he was like, just make sure that that's definitely how you feel. You know what I mean? You don't need to go shouting about it just yet. Just make sure that's exactly how you feel. And that's, well,
it's not really, it's
okay,
not bad advice really either.
Well, no, you know. And like, Lily May was saying, you know, we change all the time. You know, you change throughout your life.
Yeah.
So this might be how you're feeling right at this particular moment in time. But in 2 years' time, you might be like, oh, actually, no, that was just.
Yeah, this, or actually, no, I'm trans, or actually, no, I'm whatever. You never know. I think, don't build it up in your mind. Mm. And I think you want to come out to friends, family, and work. You know, that's going to feel already, that feels to me like you're thinking of everything in one big go. You might speak to a friend, and then next year might be when friends, family finds out, sorry. And then 2 years might be when work finds out. Did you hear that little burp then?
Was that
also an inhale?
It was like an inhale burp.
Yeah.
I don't, it's a non-spawn, but I had a Huel for dinner today. It was very, very filling. I think at the minute you're looking at it from a perspective where everything feels on top of you and big and it doesn't need to be. Strip it back, simplify it. And go about it so much more chill. That was a long way of answering it. Sometimes people will say things on here and it's like, help me, I can't douche. And then other times people will say something and it's like, no, actually, I really want to help. I really want to try and give you my perspective if it's going
to
help.
I think that's why we spoke about it so much, right? Because there isn't a clear-cut answer. There is no right way to come out. There is no right time or anything like that. It's just you as an individual, what is right for you in your 100%. Scenario. So that's why there's so much to say about it, because there's 101 different ways that you can approach a situation.
But it's interesting what you say about intent as well, because I find that if someone's like, oh, you silly puff, or you silly queer, like we talk to each other, that's fine. But if someone's like, you fucking silly puff, you silly, there's a very different, you can say exactly the same thing and it can mean something completely different just with the intent that's behind it.
And also sometimes I think, am I going to choose to be offended here? There's also been times when I know there's been intent, but I've not wanted to give that person power or give that you're looking for a reaction. I'm that bitch that's going to be like, well, you ain't going to get that reaction.
Yeah.
You know, it's a crazy fucked up world, girl. Yeah. But take it easy, chill the fuck out, which is probably sounds like really shit advice to say to someone who wants to come out. Chill the fuck out. I don't want to invalidate it. You're valid, your feelings are valid, but it doesn't have to be this big thing. And I think that's the general consensus that we're all saying. Listen, it's been a great 2 weeks. Thank you, John.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
Coming
I've had a blast
to Manchester. I hope you enjoy Media. How glam is Media City?
I love it.
We were going to be in a room with a tin roof and a fake brick wall. But here we are.
Well, 2 years ago, yes, but
yeah.
2 years ago, what?
We would have been in a tin roof.
We still are. Look up. And remember, next week, the bitch is back. It'd be great if we could play a little bit of Elton John there, but we might get sued.
He'll come for our necks, even just you saying that.
Will
I'm
you
get,
think?
Yeah. Cut
Do you
it,
know
cut
what
it,
I saw this week? Sorry, I know we were wrapping up, but have you seen that those clips of Elton and Madonna at an awards ceremony, and Elton is adamant that he has a better song than Madonna and she's going to lose. And he's like, yeah, well, mine's a better song. I'm clearly going to win. And then Madonna wins and she gets up and she's like, Elton's probably going to fall out with me because he gets pissed off when I win.
I've not seen that, but that is the kind of pop culture history that I fucking love.
I love shit like that.
So, so fucking
Elton's
good.
Officially an EGOT now, isn't he?
What's that mean?
So
aren't they from Star Wars?
Emmy, EGOT, let me
Golden Globe.
Yep.
Oscar,
Tony.
Yeah.
Which one did he just win? Golden Globe?
Must be the Emmys.
It might have been Emmy, actually.
That's the most. That was only out. That was last week,
right?
That's why RuPaul wasn't at DragCon, because she was at the Emmys.
We had Golden Globes quite recently as well. But anyway, just thought I'd just share that.
Before we do go, have you got any funny stories from an award show? Any drama?
We never went.
Too busy?
I won 2 Brit Awards and never went to the Brits.
No way!
Have you got them though?
I've got them, yeah. The ones that we were on tour for one of them, and the other one we were filming in America. So we weren't even there. Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Did you have someone stand in, or did you like record a message?
No, I did like a record message thing, yeah.
What do you do with your awards? Like, do you just have them on a shelf? Or
they are in my living room on a shelf, yeah.
I love that.
I saw recently, I can't remember who
it is. The actress that keeps it in the bathroom.
Yeah.
It's really Olivia Colman. Is it Olivia Colman?
I think Olivia Colman's got an Oscar.
Emma Roberts, I think she does.
I actually think it's Emma Roberts' story. Yeah. Keeps it in the bathroom so that people can do award speeches.
In the mirror with it. Which I was thinking about doing with my crown and scepter, because my crown and scepter are on display in my drag room, like on a big trunk in the middle of the drag room, the dressing room.
Kate Winslet.
And every time somebody comes round and goes past the drag room and the doors open, I come out and they're in there with the crown and the scepter on. I've got pictures of Conchita Wurst pissed at my house with the crown and scepter pretending she's won. Listen, it's been an amazing day. It's been amazing 2 weeks. John, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Love, love, love you. Where can people find you online?
So I'm only on Instagram, and it is Mr. Jonathan Lee 82.
Okay. And Grindr?
Not anymore.
I was only joking. I love I'm saying
ground out.
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
We round it. Do you know what? That's probably the best way.
Just gotta hang around in Cornwall.
Yeah. Your nearest person is 214 miles away. It's not really worth it.
There might be a lovely farmhand.
Well, I'm sure.
You better off just putting an ad in the local paper.
Hello, my lover.
Anyone looking for my pasty? Listen, you know how you're getting in touch. It's letters at Gossip Gaze Pod on the email. It's at Gossip Gaze Pod on Instagram, and our number to text us and WhatsApp us, it's in the bio. And if you are listening to it on Apple, you could go and leave us a review. I don't know, it's just an idea. It'd make my day. It'd make John's day.
It would make my day, actually.
Until the end of today, and then he doesn't give a shit about it. It would make all our days. So please go and do that. Don't forget, next week, Billy's back. So we'll see you then for more camp, crazy, cuckoo gossip.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.